You're tuned to 89.1 WGLT.org. I'm Laura Kennedy with this WGLT Datebook. Good things can emerge from adversity. For vocalist and Illinois State University music professor Justin Vickers, COVID-19 actually opened a door to opportunity, a door to the ISU Center for the Performing Arts Concert Hall. With the blessings of the college and a select handful of colleagues, Vickers spent the month of July recording material for a new CD in the CPA Concert Hall. Vickers says he's performed in the hall many times along with orchestral accompaniment, and that this unique recording session gave him the chance to explore the intimacy the space had to offer.
One develops a relationship with the space. One develops a sort of sonic relationship with the acoustic principles of a space. And as a singer, when you're constantly gauging the various dynamics that you might exploit in your voice and the various ranges and colors that you might exploit with your voice, that relationship with a space is actually one of the most consequential relationships that one develops. And to be in there in a very, very solitary nature is something that, sure, during rehearsals one might have experienced in the past, but to genuinely have the space for an entire month. And then I think what was the most exciting to sort of draw this all together is a work written by the South African-born British female composer. Her name's Priyo Renye. She wrote this fabulous song cycle. It's called Cycle for Declamation, to texts by the, I think, 16th century metaphysical poet John Donne. And it's an unaccompanied song cycle. So all of the things that I just described to you about the relationship that one develops with a sort of sonic space, that relationship was exclusively me and that space. And you're dealing with the decay of the voice in a space, and you're dealing with acoustic reverb, and you're dealing with silence.
So let's talk about the selection of works that you decided to record. Now, were you looking for works that helped to, say, burst the bad mood of COVID-19? Were you looking for works to reflect it, or were you not looking for works that address it at all?
You know, I wasn't actually thinking of works that immediately responded to COVID-19. We've said, perhaps in jest, during the process that we were making a pandemic lemonade out of pandemic lemons, and sort of just making the least worst best decisions. I tell you, as we negotiate the various pieces that we've recorded, and you're spending a lot of time, of course, the voice is a text-driven instrument, so you're spending a lot of time digging deep in these texts. There would be hair-raising moments in the recording process where, gosh, you just realize how resonant a specific text was with what we were experiencing.
Could you give me an example?
One of the pieces that I recorded will be the world premiere recording of a cycle by Benjamin Britten. And that's an exciting thing to say as a Benjamin Britten specialist, knowing that Benjamin Britten died in 1976. And the reason I say it's a world premiere recording is a tenor has never sung the piece. It's a song cycle that was written using Russian poetry by Alexander Pushkin. But Benjamin Britten's partner, the tenor Peter Pears, translated the song cycle into English, and he translated it into an English performance translation, which he performed some 20 times during the next decade of that cycle's existence. And he performed it frequently with Britten at the piano. And while there were these wonderful live performances, unlike other things, which Pears and Britten would always record, for some sad reason, there's no extant recording of the two of them singing this in Pears's English language translation. Back in February of this year, I was in St. Petersburg, Russia. I performed the cycle at the Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov Museum in St. Petersburg, and I gave a scholarly paper about the work and about Pears's work with the translation of the piece. And to just get to live with that, we found during the recording process there were a number of passages of text that had a particular resonance. with what we were experiencing in the midst of COVID, and especially one of the final songs in the cycle. One of the lines of text is dealing with insomnia, and certainly I think this perpetual ticking of a clock and a person's awareness with the fact that they're not sleeping and that they're thinking on many other things outside of themselves. And so that has a certain resonance with what's going on in the world.
I'm not at all surprised, Justin, to see that you recorded some Benjamin Britten, as you are a Britten expert. But who were some of the other composers that you chose?
I was really happy to record two wonderful new song cycles by gentlemen whose work I've respected for a great deal of time, but they've also become really good friends over the last number of years. One of the composers is named John David Ernest, and he wrote this magnificent song cycle called The Songs of Hadrian. And it's about the second century Roman Emperor Hadrian and his love affair with his Eromenos, Antinous, who was a young man who was essentially in his court. And the song cycle is fabulous because it goes through all of the stages of meeting someone and falling in love and then ultimately losing someone, sadly, very sad circumstances, and then ultimately sort of madness that Hadrian goes through. So the psychological arc of the cycle is fabulous.
That sounds very demanding.
It is demanding, and it's beautiful, and I think this was one of the great ways that we could exploit the acoustics of the CPA Concert Hall. There are moments of real intimacy and quietness and tenderness, and then there are rather explosive moments of rage and heartache and grief, and I was so heartened by the fact that John David had asked me, I think it was maybe 2003 or 2004, we started working on this song cycle. He asked me if I'd prepare the thing and if I would do a reading for him. So I worked with a pianist and we had a few hours together. And then it sort of just sat. He took it away. He was thankful, but he took it away and he wanted to do some continued work on it. And I just remember continuing to love it. And so I reached out to him again many times over the following years. And I said, would you please finish this cycle? So I finally got to give the world premiere of it a few years ago, and I got to give the British premiere of it at Britten's Home, the Red House, back in 2017. And so to get to finally record this piece and come full circle, and actually all of the things that were part of this Red House concert back in 2017, they're all on this recording, which is Britten's Seven Sonnets of Michelangelo, which is a wonderful gay-themed song cycle. I would sort of say in scholarly terms that it's homo-romantic. And then you have The Songs of Hadrian by John David Ernest. And then one of the things that's yet to be recorded is a song cycle I commissioned for that summer in 2017 by Zachary Wandsworth, an American composer. That cycle's called Secret Songs, all poetry of the English poet Edward and author Edward Carpenter. So it's exciting to see all those things living on this disc together. But another wonderful piece that we recorded in July is called Apollo's Lament. So I thought there was this sort of nice connection between the court of Apollo and the temple of Apollo and this sort of Apollonian offering alongside Hadrian and that sort of antiquity that I thought would exist really nicely. So Thomas Schuttenhelm has written this magnificent work for tenor and guitar called Apollo's Lament, and so I got to record that with Angela Favis, and gosh, that was a real treat, because the guitar is a quiet instrument, and so it really challenges me as a singer, when we've trained our instruments to be, you know, to cut through an orchestra, to really peel back all those layers and just allow the voice to be vulnerable and be quiet and be okay with that. It's a really exciting project.
So, Justin, how did you successfully socially distance while you were recording?
Well, that was really interesting because Aaron Pollucci, who's the director of creative technologies in the Winsor Kim College of Fine Arts, we had to do a number of samples in the space to ensure that we got the recording quality that we wanted. But it also involved a sort of placement of the piano. So unlike in a performance, you'd at least have like sideward view of your pianist. And of course, the pianist would see you in profile. In this setting, we actually had the piano about 6 feet behind me at a slight angle with the lid raised. And then I'm with center stage, but about 10 feet back from the lip of the stage. And the pair of high-quality recording devices were, I don't know, 6-9 feet in front of me and separated by some distance. And it just makes this fabulous wash of the piano around the voice, but that certainly required that we knew the repertoire intimately, because that connection that one might have during a live performance, it just wasn't there. So there might have been like some head nodding in order to indicate tempi, or some light gestures with my hand to ensure that John Orff and I were together. We would never do during a live performance. We would never do in front of an audience, because that tends to look a bit like a rehearsal. But in this setting, it was absolutely incumbent on us in order to maintain that great ensemble together and to really be together at every moment. But it was not without very scary moments, because you just don't have that immediacy and that connection.
How did doing this extraordinary recording session impact your mood? A lot of artists have been kept away from live performance, and it's been very frustrating. So did doing this recording session improve your mood in the midst of the pandemic?
Absolutely. I genuinely feel that I got an opportunity this summer that so many of my colleagues around the world aren't getting to experience. And in some ways, I genuinely felt this awesome privilege to get to do it, and to sort of get to do it. And I certainly would not accord myself being among great artists, but I felt like I was just getting to do something on behalf of my fellow music makers around the world that I know that their situations might not have permitted them to experience. And so that was such a humbling and deeply rewarding experience. It gave me such deep joy, and the special feeling each that Aaron and John and I would have at the end of a session, or even in the middle of a session, it was so rewarding, and it actually brought tears to our eyes a couple times during the recording process. It really made us feel as if we were honoring the gifts that we've been given.
That's vocalist Justin Vickers from the ISU School of Music. His new CD is called The Poet's Echo. A release date has yet to be set. I'm Laura Kennedy.